Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A warm welcome to those who are here in the auditorium and for those who have dialed in for our online service sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientist, Carmel, Indiana. And we'll begin with singing hymn number 157. And I'll read the last verse. Day by day, the understanding of our oneness shall increase, till among all men and nations, warfare shall forever cease. So God's children all shall dwell in joy and peace. Hymn number 157. Jesus' prayer for all his brethren, Father, that they may be one, echoes down through all the ages. Nor prayed he for these alone, but for all time God will be done. One, the mind and life of all things, for we live in God alone. One, the love who's ever present, blesses all and injures none. Safe within this love we find all being one. Day by day the understanding of our oneness shall increase, till among all men and nations, warfare shall forever cease. So God's children all shall dwell in joy and peace. I shall read from the Bible. Psalms. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Deuteronomy. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Isaiah. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is not, This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Psalms. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Luke. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Like our nation, Christian Science has its Declaration of Independence. God has endowed man with inalienable rights, among which are self-government, reason, and conscience. Man is properly self-governed only when he is guided rightly and governed by his Maker, divine truth and love. Man's rights are invaded when the divine order is interfered with and the mental trespasser incurs the divine penalty due this crime. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When Homer sang of the Grecian gods, Olympus was dark, but through his verse the gods became alive in a nation's belief. Pagan worship began with muscularity, but the law of Sinai lifted thought into the Song of David. Moses advanced a nation to the worship of God in spirit instead of matter, and illustrated the grand human capacities of being bestowed by immortal mind. The Eastern empires and nations owe their false government to the misconceptions of deity there prevalent. Tyranny, intolerance, and bloodshed, wherever found, arise from the belief that the infinite is formed after the pattern of moral personality, passion, and impulse. The progress of truth confirms its claims, and our Master confirmed his words by his works. His healing power evoked denial, ingratitude, and betrayal arising from sensuality. Of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, but one returned to give God thanks, that is, to acknowledge the divine principle which had healed him. Our Master easily read the thoughts of mankind, and this insight better enabled him to direct those thoughts aright. But what would be said at this period of an infidel blasphemer who should hint that Jesus used his incisive power injuriously? Our Master read mortal mind on a scientific basis, that of the omnipresence of mind. An approximation of this discernment indicates spiritual growth and union with the infinite capacities of the one mind. Jesus could injure no one by his mind reading. The effect of his mind was always to heal and to save. And this is the only genuine science of reading mortal mind. His holy motives and aims were produced by the sinners of that period as they would be today if Jesus were personally present. Paul said, to be spiritually minded is life. We approach God or life in proportion to our spirituality, our fidelity to truth and love. And in that ratio, we know all human need and are able to discern the thought of the sick and the sinning for the purpose of healing them. Error of any kind cannot hide from the law of God. You may know when first truth leads by the fewness and faithfulness of its followers. Thus it is that the march of time bears onward freedom's banner. The powers of this world will fight and will command their sentinels not to let truth pass the guard until it subscribes to their systems. But science, heeding not the pointed bayonet, marches on. There is always some tumult, but there is a rallying to truth's standard. The history of our country, like all history, illustrates the might of mind and shows human power to be proportionate to its embodiment of right thinking. A few immortal sentences breathing the omnipotence of divine justice have been potent to break despotic fetters and abolish the whipping post and slave market. But oppression neither went down in blood, nor did the breath of freedom come from the cannon's mouth. Love is the liberator. Led on by the grossest element of mortal mind, Herod decreed the death of every male child in order that the man Jesus, the masculine representative of the spiritual idea, might never hold sway and deprive Herod of his crown. The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our master. But of his kingdom there shall be no end, for Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples, imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science. The three great verities of spirit, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, spirit possessing all power, filling all space, constituting all science, contradict forever the belief that matter can be actual. These eternal verities reveal primeval existence as the radiant reality of God's creation, in which all that he has made is pronounced by his wisdom good. Thus it was that I beheld as never before the awful unreality called evil, the equipollence of God brought to light another glorious proposition. Man's perfection ability and the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. The Bible contains the recipe for all healing. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Sin and sickness are both healed by the same principle. The tree is typical of man's divine principle, which is equal to every emergency, offering full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. Sin will submit to Christian science when, in place of modes and forms, the power of God is understood and demonstrated in the healing of mortals, both mind and body. Perfect love casteth out fear. Human reason and religion come slowly to the recognition of spiritual facts, and so continue to call upon matter to remove the error which the human mind alone has created. the idols of civilization are far more fatal to health and longevity than are the idols of barbarism. The idols of civilization call into action less faith than Buddhism in a supreme governing intelligence. The footsteps of thought, rising above material standpoints, are slow and portend a long night to the traveler. But the angels of his presence, the spiritual intuitions that tell us when the night is far spent, the day is at hand, are our guardians in the gloom. Whoever opens the way in Christian Science is a pilgrim and stranger, marking out the path for generations yet unborn. The thunder of Sinai and the Sermon on the Mount are pursuing and will overtake the ages, rebuking in their course all error and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven on earth. Truth is revealed. It needs only to be practiced. Material belief is slow to acknowledge what the spiritual fact implies. The truth is the center of all religion. It commands a sure entrance into the realm of love. St. Paul wrote, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That is, let us put aside material self and sense and seek the divine principle and science of all healing. If my friends are going to Europe while I am en route for California, we are not journeying together. We have separate timetables to consult, different routes to pursue. Our paths have diverged at the very outset, and we have little opportunity to help each other. On the contrary, if my friends pursue my course, we have the same railroad guides and our mutual interests are identical. Or, if I take up their line of travel, they help me on, and our companionship may continue. Being in sympathy with matter, the worldly man is at the beck and call of error and will be attracted thitherward. He is like a traveler going westward for a pleasure trip. The company is alluring and the pleasures exciting. After following the sun for 6 days, he turns east on the seventh, satisfied if he can only imagine himself drifting in the right direction. By and by, ashamed of his zigzag course, he would borrow the passport of some wiser pilgrim, thinking with the aid of this to find and follow the right road. Vibrating like a pendulum between sin and the hope of forgiveness, selfishness and sensuality causing constant retrogression, our moral progress will be slow. Waking to Christ's demand, mortals experience suffering. This causes them, even as drowning men, to make vigorous efforts to save themselves. And through Christ's precious love, these efforts are crowned with success. Work out your own salvation is the demand of life and love. For to this end, God worketh with you. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds and you receive no present reward, go not back to error nor become a sluggard in the race. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done and receive according to your deserving. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. Final deliverance from error, whereby we rejoice in immortality, boundless freedom, and sinless sense, is not reached through paths of flowers, nor by pinning one's faith without works to another's vicarious effort. Whosoever believeth that wrath is righteous, or that divinity is appeased by human suffering, does not understand God. Justice requires reformation of the sinner. Mercy cancels the debt only when justice approves. Revenge is inadmissible. Wrath which is only appeased, if not destroyed, but partially indulged. Wisdom and love may require many sacrifices of self to save us from sin. One sacrifice, however great, is insufficient to pay the debt of sin. The atonement requires constant self-immolation on the sinner's part. That God's wrath should be vented upon his beloved Son is divinely unnatural. Such a theory is man-made. The atonement is a hard problem in theology, but its scientific explanation is that suffering is an error of sinful sense, which truth destroys, and that eventually both sin and suffering will fall at the feet of everlasting love. Despite the hallowing influence of truth in the destruction of error, must error still be immortal? Truth spares all that is true. If evil is real, truth must make it so, but error, not truth, is the author of the unreal. And the unreal vanishes while all that is real is eternal. The apostle says that the mission of Christ is to destroy the works of the devil. Truth destroys falsity and error, for light and darkness cannot dwell together. Light extinguishes the darkness, and the scripture declares that there is no night there. To truth, there is no error. All is truth. To infinite spirit, there is no matter. All is spirit, divine principle, and its idea. In national prosperity, miracles attended the success of the Hebrews. But when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. Reason is the most active human faculty. Let that inform the sentiments and awaken the man's dormant sense of moral obligation, and by degrees he will learn the nothingness of the pleasures of human sense and the grandeur and bliss of a spiritual sense, which silences the material or corporeal. Then he not only will be saved, but is saved. One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry. Whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. Let us join for a few moments in silent prayer, and then follow with the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. And then our second hymn is 73. And I'll read the first verse. glory, honor, praise, and pure oblations. Unto God the Lord belong. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him with a song. In his hand is all the power of nations. Sing to him, ye joyous congregations, psalms of gratitude and praise. Unto God the Father raise. Hymn number 73. For those who would like to join us Sunday, the church doors are open and following the governor's requirements. And also, we will still be making available the online program for listening. And then a reminder about the Indiana Inspiration phone line, 317-854-8484. Again, that's 317-854-8484. And by dialing that, you have access to the weekly Bible lesson, the Sentinel Watch program, the Daily Lift, the El Geraldo program, and other events and activities, at least information about them. It's great to have that, to tune into whatever the hour of the day or night is, to tune into that. And I don't know that we have any other notices. And so now it's time for sharing experiences, testimonies, and remarks on Christian Science.
Sorry, Dennis, I turned it on. Oh, thank you so much for the readings this evening. We're just so grateful to be here this evening, this beautiful summer day. I was sitting reading our quote, divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And I remembered an experience that our daughter had a couple minutes ago. I don't think we've said anything about it here because I don't think we've been here, but our daughter living in Oakland had been, I think wanting to find another place to live for some time. And she didn't complain to us or anything, but we kind of knew that she was looking for a more harmonious situation. And she and one of her other roommates decided to, they would like to move and get us a place for two instead of four. And seemed in her area, whenever something came available, that it was snatched up immediately. And so I know she'd been working on this for some time. And so I think it's around the 1st of March, her roommate happened to see something pop up, an availability for an apartment that was very close to where they currently lived. And she called immediately, and they were able to have an interview with the person that day. Were able to secure the apartment. They were going to have all month, the rest of the month to move in, so things were going well. And then the shelter-in-place came along, and it was going to start, I guess, the next day. So they were able to find someone that day to help them move the furniture. She wasn't able to pack, just threw stuff in boxes, but they were able to find somebody that would come and move them that day. They were able to make a trip to some Home Depot or somewhere and get things they needed and all those things all in one day and get back and get in their spot. And we were just so grateful to hear this working out, because from a financial standpoint, for anyone, it would be hard to pay two things. They would have to pay, they would stop to pay rent on their current situation and then on the new place to keep it for, and they weren't sure how long that would be. And so that worked out very harmoniously. And everything went smoothly as far as the move. It worked out quickly. They got everything that they needed. And so we were just so grateful to, again, hear how God is always helping us, always there for us, listening, following his direction, and knowing that, he's going to help us meet our every need. So we were very grateful to hear that demonstration for her and for her situation. Also, we're just so grateful for all the listening to your lessons on the call-in line. That has been such a wonderful gift these past few months. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to also thank you for the readings from the desk. The last tune we just sang reminded me, well, I've been working with oneness, of God's oneness, and the last line is just so wonderful. It says, "Lo, he speaks all condemnation ending. Every true desire with love's will bending. Losing self in him, we find joy, health, hope for all mankind." To me, that was a wonderful line. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for the readings and the hymns. Working on oneness, I've been working probably a couple years ago. I planned on retiring this year, and it's gone pretty quickly. But then all of a sudden, things that I was continuing praying to make sure that this was the right thing to do, and it always seemed to be the right thing to do. And then about a month ago, the pension I planned on taking changed, and it was concerning, and it was just unsettling. It wasn't bad. It was just unsettling. And so we had to work out how to get all that taken care of and still allow me to retire. And now my date of retirement, which has changed a couple times, but I'm planning on retiring end of July. And I've been working with many, many things, and I'm so grateful for all the periodicals, for the daily lift, for the daily thought. JSH online, I mean, those things all give it the lesson. our hymns, they all give us so many precious thoughts that will keep us going on our daily day. But the one that I listen to almost daily is God's Law of Adjustment. And the one thing that was very comforting in God's Law of Adjustment was that even if we make the wrong choice, God will bring us to the right one. So it was very comforting. We think we have everything taken care of now. But it was just, it's just been an unsettling month or so. And then the other thing was very, speaking of the oneness of God, yesterday I seemed to have an issue I needed to deal with, and it was met very, very quickly and very, very harmoniously. And I'm so grateful for God's love and his oneness and his, and the love that, and this, I guess this is what I'm talking about from this hymn. Christian Science teaches God's love, and God is love. And he doesn't love one person more than he loves another person. And it's just such a comfort to know that that love is always with us and has always been with us, and we can turn to it whenever we have an issue. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you. Lovely. I came prepared to share a testimony from the Science and Health, where the last 100 pages are testimonies of people who read Science and Health. And so there's one here about, it's on page 612 of Science and Health, and it's titled, A Remarkable Case. 9 years ago, my only child was hovering between life and death. Some of the best physicians in Boston had pronounced his case incurable, saying that if he lived, he would always be an invalid and a cripple. One of the diseases was gastric catarrh. He was allowed to eat but very few things, and even after taking every precaution, he suffered to the extent that he would lie in spasms for half a day. He also had rickets, physicians saying that there was not a natural bone in his body. It was while he was in what seemed to be his greatest agony, and when I was in the darkest despair, that I first heard of Christian Science. The bearer of the joyful tidings could only tell me to come and hear of the wonderful things that Christian Science was doing. I accepted the invitation, for I was willing to try anything to save my child. And the following Friday evening, I attended my first meeting, which was in the Mother Church of Christ Scientists. Long before the service began, every seat was filled, which was amazing to me, being an ordinary weekly meeting. And that night, I realized from the testimonies given that Christian Science was the religion for which I had been searching for years. The next day, I went to find a practitioner, but was unable to get the one who had been recommended, he being too busy. On my way home, I thought of some of the testimonies which I had heard the night before of people being healed by simply reading Science and Health. I resolved at once to borrow a copy, and not dreaming of the sacrifice that my friend would make by conferring such a favor, I went and asked her for a loan of Science and Health. I never saw anyone part so reluctantly with a book as my friend did with her copy of the textbook. I read it silently and audibly, day and night, in my home, and although I could not seem to understand it, yet the healing commenced to take place at once. The little mouth, which had been twisted by spasms, grew natural, and the child was soon able to be up, playing and romping about the house, as any child should. About this time, we decided to move to the far west. I was young in science at that time, and my husband greatly feared that the journey would cause a relapse for the child, but instead he continued to improve. I constantly read the Bible, Science and Health, and miscellaneous writings the 2 weeks we traveled. and we were the only ones in our car who throughout the journey did not get train sick. The child's limbs grew perfectly straight. He ate anything he wanted, and for years, he has been a natural, healthy child in every way. He has passed through some of the worst forms of contagion untouched and unharmed. I had been reading Science and Health several months before I gave any thought to myself and my numerous complaints. I had never been very strong, and some of my ailments were supposed to be hereditary and chronic. Hence, I dragged through many tedious years with a belief in medical laws and hereditary laws resting upon me. Just before I commenced reading Science and Health, I spent a half day in having my eyes examined by one of the leading oculists in Boston. His verdict was that my eyes were in a dreadful condition and that I would always need to wear glasses. In the meantime, I commenced to read Science and Health. When I thought of my eyes, I had no need for glasses. The years that I have been in science, I have used my eyes incessantly, night as well as day, doing all kinds of trying work and without requiring the aid of glasses. I was healed of all my complaints while seeking the truth for my child, and many of them have never returned. Those that appeared simply came to the surface to be destroyed. Teeth have been restored and facial blemishes removed unconsciously simply by reading Science and Health. All of this is, however, nothing to compare with the spiritual uplifting which I have received, and I have everything to be thankful for. And that was from, the initials were MTW, Los Angeles, California. A lovely confirmation. And then our last hymn is a little, I don't think we've sung it before, but it's a little different. But I think we can make our way through it. It starts with the refrain, and I wanted to read the first verse. Praise God in this holy place, every nation, every race. Come, make joyful music to the Lord. Sound the trumpet, sound it clear, sound it for the world to hear. Come, make joyful music to the Lord. Hymn number 489. I don't know if I announced that before.
Play the cymbals, play the flute, play play the tremble, play the flute. Come make joyful music to the Lord. Alle, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898, 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.